namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Canto 1, Chapter 12, Text Number 7, Birth of Emperor Parikshit. Matur garbhagato vira. Satada brigo nandana. Dadarsha purusham kanchit. Dayamanosta tejasa. Matur garbo gato viraha. Satada brigunandana. Dadarsha purusham kanchit. Dayamanostra tejasa. Translation of son of Bhrigu Shaunaka. When the child Parikshit, the great fighter, was in the womb of his mother Uttara and was suffering from the burning heat of the Brahmastra thrown by Ashwatthama, he could observe the Supreme Lord coming to him. Imagine. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Death generally involves remaining in trance for 7 months. A living being, according to his own action, is allowed to enter into the womb of a mother by the vehicle of a father's semen, and thus he develops his desired body. This is the law of birth in specific bodies according to one's past actions. When he is awake from trance, he feels the inconvenience of being confined within the womb, and thus he wants to come out of it, and sometimes fortunately prays to the Lord for such liberation. Maharaj Parikshit, while in the womb of his mother, was struck by the Brahmastra released by Ashwatthama, and he was feeling the burning heat. But because he was a devotee of the Lord at once appeared himself within the womb by his all-powerful energy. And the child could see that someone else had come to save him. Even in that helpless condition, the child Parikshit endured the unbearable temperature due to his being a great fighter by nature. And for this reason, the word viraha has been used. End of purport. Matur garba gato viraha sa tada brigunandana dadarsha purusham kanchit dhyamano stra tejasa. O son of Bhrigu Shaunaka, when the child Parikshit, the great fighter, was in the womb of his mother, Uttara, he was suffering from the burning heat of the Brahmastra thrown by Ashwatthama. He could observe the Supreme Lord coming to him. It's a little background. In chapter 7, immediately after that very important section of the Bhagavatam where Vyasadeva's realization about the transcendent Lord, according to the instructions of Narada, he sat in trance of meditation and saw what he saw. He saw the Supreme Lord and the material energy under his full control and understood the living entity, is bewildered by that material energy, thinking himself a product of matter, although he is not, and because of that condition, struggling and suffering unnecessarily, not knowing the mitigating process, and thus Vyasadeva compiled Srimad Bhagavatam, specifically then for the purpose of, by Krishna Katha or Hari Katha, by hearing such topics, the original consciousness of the living entity can be restored, and the bewildering influence of illusory energy can be slackened and dismissed, just by hearing Krishna Katha. So, naturally, the sages hearing that, they said, Krishna Katha, please. Krishna Katha. And so the Krishna Katha selected by Suta Goswami was Pandavas, because Pandavas is Krishna Katha. So similarly, hearing about Maharaj Parikshit is Krishna Katha. It's not Maharaj Parikshit Katha. It's relevant to us and in the Bhagavatam because it's Krishna Katha. It's Krishna's pure devotee interacting with Krishna, or Krishna interacting with his pure devotee. It's the science of relationship. And the interaction of the abode of love and the object of love and is teaching us this devotional service. So that was chapter 7, and of course there was a specific, the killing of the sleeping sons of the Pandavas, Arjuna chasing, capturing Ashwatthama, bringing him back, that whole scene in chapter 7. And then further and further and further descriptions of chapter 8, Kunti's prayers, Krishna is about to leave, and then Krishna leaves, and Bhishma Dev's instructions, and Krishna leaves, Krishna enters into Dwarka. And that brings us to chapter 12, where, very important for the qualified listener, is to hear some detail or some particular point which one wants to hear further about. So Bhrighu Nandana Shaunaka was a very qualified listener. He picked up on a particular point and wanted to hear more detail about that particular point, and thus the Bhagavatam goes on. It's important to listen carefully, and not necessarily, it can be like Arjuna, oh, I have a doubt, you said this and then you said that, I'm confused. That's not bad, that's good. Or, you said this, could I hear more about this? Part of spiritual exchange between teacher and student is this inquisitiveness. If one thinks, oh, I know it all, then you don't need a teacher. I mean, you may need a teacher, but you don't not prepare to receive the benefit of having a teacher. I'd like to understand more. So, the beginning of this chapter is now returning after Krishna has entered into Dwarka and all of that. Shaunaka is returning back to the topic of, well, what about Maharaj Parikshit? There was some earlier description of Maharaj Parikshit. Can you elaborate on that topic? Like, how did he see the Supreme Lord still within the womb? Children don't even have their eyes open, or the faculty of seeing isn't there. So how did he see, and how did it describe this elaborate further? And then, you know, other questions about his glories, Maharaj Parikshit, great, wonderful, illustrious devotee, grandson of the Pandavas. We're not interested in, what do you call it? Genealogy. We're interested in Krishna. So genealogy in relation to Krishna is of interest. So The earlier verses are glories and glories and glories of Maharishi Parikshit, and now the subject begins. In fact, that's how Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur begins his commentary on verse 12. Now the subject is beginning, because the others were introducing the subject. So here's the subject. Maharishi Parikshit, within the womb of Uttara, was experiencing suffering from the burning heat of the Brahmastra weapon. I'll just share a little bit. First hearing about what a Brahmastra weapon is from Srila Prabhupada, he described it in the following ways. It's an invincible weapon. Some weapons can have an antidote, like, you know, heat weapon, then it's a cold weapon, like that happened in fighting with Krishna, with Lord Shiva, Shivajwara and Vishnujwara. Cold weapon, heat weapon. Cold weapon defeated the heat weapon. So this is an invincible weapon, Brahmastra. So the only thing that can stop the Brahmastra is, as we heard earlier, another Brahmastra or Krishna, and otherwise it's unstoppable. So here comes this Brahmastra, headed specifically for Maharishi Parikshit. Very diabolical, like super diabolical. Uttara has come running before Krishna, begging, because it was mentioned before, begging Krishna's protection. So here's the detail. Krishna gives his protection in the form of showing him two things. Showing himself to Maharishi Parikshit, so that was like one of the purposes, was giving his darshan to this child even before the child was born. Indicating to the world, this, before even the child is born, this child is blessed, favored by the Personality of Godhead, and known throughout his life as favored by the Personality of Godhead, even before he did anything. I mean, that's pretty good. So, kind of begs the question, who was this child before he was in the womb of Uttara? But at least we can understand from the verse, this word viraha, he was of a Kshatriya nature. Whoever he was, it was something of a Kshatriya nature, because he was able to endure the heat. Viraha, Prabhupada is translated as the great fighter. So that's a Kshatriya, it's a quality of a Kshatriya. Viraha, great fighter. But when fighting, there's pain inflicted by the other fighter. But a Kshatriya doesn't mind. In fact, they like the pain inflicted by the other fighter. Like, you know, those of us that are not Kshatriyas, you know, what's that? But similarly, like, Prabhupada explains it this way, like the Brahmana who likes austerities. And those that are not Brahmanas, what's wrong with you? But the Brahmana likes. Like, you know, when it's Ekadasi, the Brahmanas go, yay! And those that aren't Brahmanas go, oh, I have to fast. And not so that they then the Brahmanas like increasing the austerities. It's not just, you know, self-inflicting suffering. It's the happiness of detachment and the increase of hearing and chanting is the happiness of the Brahmana. You've heard this phrase before. Austerity is the wealth of the Brahmana. Which sounds like a contradiction of terms, because austerity is you do without. So what's that wealth? Do without, that's the wealth. But it's not the doing without, it's what is the experience for one who is detached from the stuff you just did without, that you really don't need. Because if you need it, you couldn't do without it, like stop breathing or something. but diminish and diminish, and that's the austerity. For what purpose? There's the secret. It's the purpose of elevation in the mode of goodness, detachment, jnana vairagya, and in that position, closer connection to Brahman. That's the happiness of the Brahmana. So it looks like outside, it looks like austerity. To a non-Brahmana, it looks like suffering. But to a Brahmana, it's happiness and it's wealth. So that the wealth of the Brahmana is the Brahma-tejas, spiritual strength, and Brahma-gyan, knowledge of Brahman, and the happiness that comes with those, as opposed to the other kind, sensual or mode of passion, chasing after fruitive activities, or indulgence in intoxication, madness, delusion. That's not happiness. The Brahmana has a set of happiness, and that's his wealth. So the Brahmastra weapon is invincible, and it's also the nature of it is the target. Prabhupada explained it's released by mantra, and it goes specifically to the designated, according to mantra, target. It can pursue wherever the target is. It doesn't have to go in a straight line. They have, as I understand it, these weapons that seek out their target, and they can move around, and I don't know how it works, but... So the Brahmastra was pursuing the target, and another feature of a Brahmastra is it has incredible heat, like the heat of destruction. Universal devastation comes about by heat that then ignites things into fire, and then it, etc. So that Brahmastra was heading for the child, and the child was resisting. The Supreme Lord was protecting, but still it was very hot. I mean, the womb of Uttara must also have been very hot. But the child was the target because the child was becoming hot. But he was able to withstand because Viraha. So Viraha, great fighter. Vira literally means strength. So fighters like kings would keep wrestlers, and you know, they enjoy a good thrashing. Ah, you know, if you can't give a good thrashing, you're no good. Again, it. I want somebody that can really, you know, inflict some pain over here. They like that for a kshatriya. For those of us that are not kshatriyas, something demented about that person who's, but kshatriyas like, and the combat. And so there's some striking back and forth, and they like that. It's kshatriya spirit, niraha. In Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, he doesn't use the word vira, he uses courage. Where there's courage, there's no fear. Now, one needs to calculate the strength of the opponent and the means of fighting of the opponent and intelligently knowing the art of war, fighting, you know, counteract in the heat of battle especially, but even before, planning, you know, the strategy of fighting. But when doing so, it's not out of fear, oh, I may get hurt, so I have to. It's courage, valor. It's a kshatriya quality. So the reference in the verse is, even in the womb, Maharishi Pariksit was showing that he had that quality. He withstood. He was able to tolerate. The skin of a newborn child, a little something, so delicate, and very easy to irritate. Even before being born, still within the womb, the skin isn't providing protection, and yet he withstood it. So that's description something of Maharishi Pariksit within the womb of Uttara. And then two other parts, the Lord appeared. And the language here is dadarsha purusham kunchit, kunchit, as someone else, that the child was able to detect purusham, that the Supreme Lord had appeared. Someone else has appeared. Now, it indicates purusham. It was the Supreme Lord. The purport indicates someone has come. Just like you may be occupied with something, and somebody comes and even is silently standing there. And maybe you're so absorbed you don't even... I do this sometimes. I get so absorbed I don't even know that somebody's standing there. But somebody's standing there. So he's an infant in the womb recognizing someone has come to protect me. So imagine there's some feeling of being protected, as opposed to it's only me against this Brahmastra. There's someone come to protect me. And then Dadarsha, he could see that it was the Supreme Lord. Now, how can a child whose eyes aren't even open see? It's a good question. The seeing instrument was not the material eye. That's one part. In the commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he writes, I'm quoting the translation at least, his first perception of objects by his mental eyes was the form of the Lord. Now that's a nice topic. Those of you that may have read Brihat Bhagavatamrita, know there's a section where Gopukumar, this is part two, he goes to Tapaloka, where it's brahmacharis only, brahmacharis and sannyasis, celibates only. And the persons there, they're engaged in dhyan, meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they see the Supreme Lord within their mind. Their mind's eye, the expression goes. They see within their mind. Literally, the form of the Lord appears there, and we know from Nectar of Devotion, that's one of the forms of the Lord, like the deity form, you know, made of different elements, and one of them is within the mind. So one can see the Lord in meditation within the mind or the mind's eye. And the residents of Tapaloka, they tried to persuade Gopukumar, what are you running around wanting to have darshan or vision of the Supreme Lord? Just stay here. We have it all the time. For long stretches of time. And that this whole philosophical argument that says, sounds interesting, sounds like, wow, that sounds pretty good. Seeing happens first within the mind, even if the object is outside of you. You see within the mind first and then with the instrument. And so just stay here. He goes, wow, that sounds good. But it doesn't satisfy his heart. And then later, so he goes on. And then later the Vishnu Dutas give him a bravo, good going, Gopukumar. You didn't fall for that. Because that seeing isn't as good. It's nice, but it isn't as good. And they give their long philosophical explanation. I invite you to read it. I'm not going to try to summarize it. The principle of bhakti is stronger than simply the mind contemplating even the form of the Lord. Because service and the reciprocation of the object with the abode of love is incomparably greater, millions of times greater. It's the reciprocation of love that through bhakti one can see the Supreme Lord. Isn't it? Krishna says, bhaktyamam abhijanati yavan yasasmi tatva. So you can only see the Supreme Lord, Krishna says, through devotion. So good going, Gopukumar. You kept going and you got it right. We can see that the spirit of your inquisitiveness is, you get an A. It's excellent. And for that reason, we're sure the Supreme Lord will reciprocate with you and come before you. And sure enough, it happens. Now, Maharaj Parikshit, his seeing is not with these eyes. His seeing was with the mind's eye, but even more so because it's the mind of a devotee, not the mind of a meditator. He's not a dhyan yogi. He's a bhakta, shuddha bhakta. So he sees with the eyes of the soul. So the soul has, there's coverings of the soul. There's gross and subtle coverings. When the subtle coverings of the soul by bhakti become surcharged with bhakti, the material aspect, according to the teachings of Kapila Dev, dissolve. I really like this. The material mind dissolved. Yay! Who would like to have freedom from the material mind? So do it the other way. Is anyone that does not want freedom from the harassment of the material mind dictating so many things? I don't see any hands up. So bhakti dissolves it. But when the material mind and intelligence and our dear friend false ego get dissolved, what's left? Then the spiritual form, and including the spiritual form, inseparable from it is the spiritual mind, intelligence, and sense of self. Completely in relation to the Supreme Lord in devotion to Him. I'm His eternal servant. And even further, a particular mood of loving service, rasa, is awakened. So that mind's eye, because I've been studying Sri Brahma Samhita, I'm developing a lot of appreciation for the text. So there's I'll just a little from Jiva Goswami on one verse, a very well known verse amongst the Govinda prayers. Premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena santaksa daiva hridayeshu vilokayanti yam shama sundaram achincha guna swarupam govindamadi purusham tamaham vajami. In Jiva Goswami's commentary, he says, make it short, it's beautifully written, but the anjana is bhava. When the soul attains the stage of bhava, bhava bhakti is the anjana that covers the eye of the soul. So one sees Shyamasundara through the eye of the soul with the anjana of bhava, anointing the eye. Poetic. But it's poetic. I mean, it's poetic because it's, how do you explain it to one who's thinking in terms of the body? It's a metaphor, so it's an anjana, it's an ointment. So it's not like you smear this eye with something, a cosmetic. It has to happen from the soul, the platform of the soul, where the soul becomes so attracted in loving service to the Supreme Lord, ecstatic jubilation in the access to serving the Supreme Lord allows one then to see the Supreme Lord. There's a very nice description. It could be lengthy, but I'll just make it short, where in our Acharya's commentaries, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in particular, and Jiva Goswami also, when the gopis are feeling separation from Krishna, and Krishna sends Uddhava, part of the message is, you are always seeing me. Because of the intensity of their love for Krishna, their feeling is separation. But that feeling of separation intensifies their love. And they're not just on the bhava platform, they're on the prema platform. They're seeing Krishna always. but in the mood of separation from Krishna, who they're seeing with their spiritual eye, although he's in Mathura. But then he never leaves Vrindavan. So they can see him in his unmanifest pastimes. I'll say it again. They can see him in his unmanifest. Others are not able to see. Others than such qualified persons in the stage of Prema Bhakti. But they can always see Krishna. But their mood is separation. Read carefully the 12-page purport in text 37 of Sri Brahma Samhita. And, you know, have a dictionary and read it about 10 times and you'll start to understand Bhaktisiddhanta's explaining this term that he calls seeming error. Brahma Vilas. B-H-R-A-M-A. Brahma is one of the defects of the conditioned souls. It means making a mistake. In the transcendental realm, there's a seeming error or mistake where they feel that Krishna has gone. But Krishna never goes. He's always in Vrindavan. But they feel that. Other examples are Krishna's taking birth. It's very detailed described in Jiva Goswami's commentary. But what is the birth? Besides the, you know, the fact he's the source of everything, consider the nature of the birth of Krishna. Appears in the mind of Vasudeva, transferred to the mind of Devaki, enters into the womb of Devaki, and then he appears four-armed Vasudeva, decorated with all the ornaments of the Supreme Lord. What's that? It's not birth as we know it. It's an example of Brahma Vilas. They're thinking the Lord has appeared. Or in the other appearance of Krishna, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he, Shyamasundara, appeared as the son of Yasoda and Nanda Maharaj. Similarly, he appeared in that case as a small baby. But it's not, you know, it's a pastime. And in Goloka, there is no birth pastime, but there's the sense of Yashoda and Nanda, he is our son. There's no pastime of birth, but they have the sense. And here is the pastime. So the pastimes here are described by the title Brahma Vilas, pastimes of seeming error. Vilas means pastime. You with me? Anybody confused? So, the special benediction or gift upon a pure devotee like Maharaj Parikshit is, even though he didn't have the capacity to see with these eyes, he could see. What was that seeing? Vishwanath says, with the first perception of objects by his mental eyes was the form of the Lord. If that's the first thing you see, you're very fortunate. But it was, you know, on the, literally, taking this other explanation of Brahma Samhita, it's literally seeing with the eye of the soul anointed by the quality of bhava. But Krishna can make himself visible even to, you know, Kamsas and Shishupals and bad people, but they don't see what Maharaj Parikshit saw. He saw with love. And he felt completely protected. And he was. But the protection was not just the heat of the Brahmastra. The protection was forgetfulness of the Supreme Lord. I'll say it again. Real protection is dismissal of ignorance or forgetfulness of the Supreme Lord. One who can give you that gift is giving you the greatest gift. And Krishna is directly giving that gift to Maharaj Parikshit. That protection. along with the worldly protection, because when there's spiritual well-being, material well-being follows. Like a shadow follows the object. So he was protected from the Brahmastra, but more, far more importantly, he was protected from the forgetfulness of the personality of Godhead by taking his birth in a material body and all of that goes along with that. Before he was even born, he was given that protection in the form of the Lord showing his form, his first vision, even before his eyes were opened. Last point, Prabhupada speaks of the condition of the soul within the womb as being in trance. Well, that's an interesting term, perhaps for the Western audience or the English-speaking people of the world, than it being translated into so many other languages besides English. But it's specific. It's susupti. According to Vedic terminology, there are three states of consciousness. The most covered one is susupti. When the living entity is taken to a hospital and they give them anesthesia, it brings the consciousness of the soul to the state of susupti, where you can cut the body and you don't feel it. Consciousness is so withdrawn. The soul is still there. Because the soul is there, consciousness is there, but it's the condition of consciousness that's deep sleep or susupti. And same within the living entity that's within at the time of cosmic annihilation, they're drawn within the body of Mahavishnu and they're in the state of susupti. And same as a living entity within the womb of the mother for 7 months is susupti. Now I'm not a medical doctor, but what I understand is the argument, one of the arguments in favor of abortion is up till a certain stage, it's just tissue, and then by evolution of combination of elements, then the living entity at a certain stage becomes conscious. So before that, it's just tissue, and it's okay to remove tissue. That's something what I understand the rationale of abortionists. Vedic picture is it's susupti state. So Maharaj Parikshit was in that susupti state. That's the indication. Death generally involves remaining in trance for 7 months. That's susupti. Not, a yogi in trance. He doesn't... Anyway, it's another thing. A living being, according to his own action, is allowed to enter the womb of a mother by the vehicle of father's semen, and thus he develops his desired body. When he is awakened from trance, he feels the inconvenience of being confined within the womb and thus wants to come out of it and sometimes, fortunately, prays to the Lord for such liberation. So, doesn't specifically say he was in that state. It's just Prabhupada's identifying what happens within the womb. So whether he was in that state of susupti or he was already awakened, it actually doesn't specify. But that's a pattern. And even in that susupti state, whether it was one or the other, it's that the soul is conscious and not conscious of God, but conscious of a light or spark that gives heat and light. It's there. More covered, less covered. And then the total uncovered condition is what Maharaj Parikshit was gifted with. Very special mercy. And I have some more to say, but I'm going to end because of time. Any comments or questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, susupti, you said, actually, while anesthesia is given, And even at the time of inhalation also, soul is means in the Susupti stage.
Yes.
Actually, while during after inhalation, like soul is not having any body. It is in soul is not having any body. Actually, it is in it's actually. But during
any soul doesn't have a body. What are you saying?
A material body is not there. But it
material
is,
body is there.
Yeah.
You're saying it's not there. During an operation, the material body.
After annihilation.
After annihilation. Okay. Okay.
And here during anesthesia, material body is there, but the soul is actually not feeling the pain of the body.
Consciousness is not extending. Consciousness is covered.
What is actually Susupti, Prabhu Maharaj, here?
Susupti is deep sleep. It's a state of consciousness.
Of the soul.
Of the soul. Yes. Not so. It may. Put the microphone down. It may, during an operation, there may be some pain inflicted to the body, but the soul is not perceiving the pain. So when we perceive pain, the soul is not in pain. We're perceiving pain or pleasure because of identification with the body. Which I think is what you're pointing to, because within the body of Mahavishnu, there's no body. There's no gross body. But there is a subtle body. There is a subtle body. And it's just dormant, in a dormant state, because the time energy has been withdrawn by Krishna. And so karma is there, but it's not active. Desire is there, but it's not active. It's just stored. And time activates those things. So similarly, when somebody's having an operation, their sense of passage of time is zippo. Ask somebody that's had an operation what it's like. Or even just like a procedure, they call it. Or they're doing something. One of those scopy things. You see what's going on inside, and they give you anesthesia. And when it's over, it's like, when are they going to do this thing? But then if it's a surgery, then they feel some pain. I guess they did some surgery. But there's no sense of passage of time. Like we have a sense of passage of time when we sleep. When I woke up this morning, you know, one of the things that happens, okay, where am I? Oh, yes. Hyderabad, okay. But there's some sense of passage of time in sleep, which is different than anesthesia, susupti. It's a different state of consciousness. And then there's awake, and we have a sense of passage of time. But that's, anyway, time is a fascinating topic, and the sense of passage of time in the heavenly planets is different than here, and so on and so on. Time is very expandable and collapsible. And during that susupti state, time appears to be stopped, or almost stopped. But it's not dependent upon the body, vice versa. The sense of what's going on out there has everything to do with the state of consciousness we have. And therefore the awakening of Krishna consciousness is what's wanted. Because then we literally enter into eternal time. And the time as we know it here is absent. But there is activities in the spiritual world, Jiva Goswami explains, where there is a sense of passage of time, and thus there's events, but there's no time. It's puzzling, mysterious. Go ahead. You want to say something more?
That's actually... stopping the time, he said. There actually soul is able to perceive how the surgery is going on and all.
What is going on?
Means when the surgery is going on, it
what
was
is going on?
Surgery in the medical operation is going on.
Surgery, okay.
Yeah, but the soul is able to perceive all the operations.
Who knows what the soul is able to perceive during surgery? Who knows? I don't know. I don't know if you could say that. I can't say that. What the soul is able to perceive during surgery. I don't know.
It was mentioned in the books.
Yeah, I'd like to see the reference. That during surgery, the soul is perceiving what's going on. In other words, for example, take a microphone from him. For example, when the soul is within the body of Mahavishnu, which is comparable to the soul that's undergoing surgery, consciousness-wise, is the soul aware, here I am in the body of Mahavishnu? I'd like to see the scriptural reference that says that. Similarly, the other one, the soul is conscious that surgery is going on, but it's, the body is feeling nothing because it's anesthesia time. I'd like to see the scriptural reference. It's a state of consciousness where consciousness is withdrawn and consolidated and conscious, but not expanded consciousness. Okay. Anyone else? Yes.
Time is energy of Lord.
Yes.
And how could this material concept based thinking of these doctors who give anesthesia and take away the concept of feeling of time energy by this
So the answer, short answer to your question is Maya Jakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam, which is Krishna as the super soul, he's the witness, and there's the surgeon and there's the patient, and Krishna sanctions. That's how it happens. Without Krishna's sanction, nothing happens. That it happens means Krishna sanctions it. Did that help?
Okay. Thank you.
We're dependent and he's independent. Back there, one question, and I think we're going to go downstairs. Do you have a question, or are you just stretching? No, behind you, this young boy.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Yes.
Maharaj, Parikshit Maharaj is protected from ignorance before the birth only. Maharaj Parikshit.
I heard you.
So again, later he kept dead snake around that... But
yeah.
So how I could understand
that? Here's how you can understand. Same as his question. Supersoul is in the heart of Maharaj Parikshit. Supersoul is guiding the activities, even of the dull living entities, what to speak of the pure devotee Maharaj Parikshit. So for Maharaj Parikshit to do what he did, it was inspired directly by the personality of Godhead. Otherwise, it's not possible for a person like Maharaj Parikshit to do such a thing. And there was a purpose. The purpose was so that he would be cursed, so that he could then hear Srimad Bhagavatam, go back to Godhead, and we would have Srimad Bhagavatam to read. That was the plan of the Lord. And that was his, how he saw it unfolding. It was his plan. And therefore, Maharaj Parikshit did what he did under the direction of Supersoul. Otherwise, not possible. There's other explanations that we don't like. They're trashed without going into it. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.